On this episode of the Argos Fancast, it's the off-season kickoff show. Our special guest, Coach Ben Grant of the X's and Argos, is going to help us break down the Argos week so far. Plus, we've got more GOAT news from the Argos social team. Crack those beers, it's the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast, and anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast. And joining us, as always, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com. He is our VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hi, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.ArgoFans.com.
Okay, now let me get ready for this one. And from the double, Sir Douglas of House. Second of his name, Lord of Section 116, Warden of the South Side, and Protector of the Realm.
I just want to say one thing. Booger! Rest in peace, Howard Hessman. We're going to miss Dr. Johnny Fever. You can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find my group, The Double Blue Order, on Facebook at facebook.com/DoubleBlueOrder, on Twitter at Double Blue Order, on Instagram at The Double Blue Order. Get your Double Blue Order merch, including the Law Firm t-shirt, which will still be up for this season, DoubleBlueOrder.com.
And, as we mentioned right off the top, from the X's and Argos podcast, the coach, Ben Grant.
Happy to be here as always, guys. It seems like we were just together. I like this late season that we just had because I feel like we've barely taken a breath. And here we are talking about 2022 Argos football. So, yeah, I'm happy to be here. You can find me on Twitter at Ben_Grant. And you can find all my stuff at xsandargos.com.
And I am Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the Twitter and Instagram machines. And, well, guys, I think we got to get into this. We had a few free agency moves. So it was a lot. Right off the bat, Andrew Harris, Jagarrad Davis are both Toronto Argonauts. Huge signings. We also picked up a couple DBs, and a couple linemen. We did pretty well for ourselves. Ben, since you know a little bit more about these players as far as the X's and O's, pardon the pun, out of the guys that we've signed, who do you think is going to make the biggest impact on this Argos roster?
That's a really good question. I think it's hard not to say Jagarrad Davis. I think we saw the damage that he did. I still have flashbacks about him covering DJ Foster on a wheel route out of the backfield, on a play in the Eastern Final that would have probably put the game away if we could have just found a way to get into the end zone. And you just see what an athlete he is. You know, he's a big guy. He's a terrific pass rusher. I know he didn't have the season that we're used to in the regular season, but you just saw him in the playoffs, how valuable he can be. And the Argos all season, I actually quite like their defensive line, but a pass rusher like that, I think, really would have put this group over the top. You think of the other pieces that are coming back on that D-line. I'm really excited about what Jagarrad Davis can do. But I also like, Royce Metchie, let's not forget about the value of having a proven Canadian in the secondary, and you can now make that safety spot a Canadian position if you've got Royce Metchie starting and maybe Josh Haggerty backing up at that free safety position. That allows you to do all sorts of things, like, for example, bring in an American linebacker to replace Cameron Judge, and of course they've gone and done that with Wyndon McManus. So, there's all sorts of cool stuff. They're bringing in a Canadian running back like Harris. There's so much flexibility on this team. I think the Argos already had one of the best teams in the CFL in terms of the Canadian talent, probably the best. And some of the pieces they've just added today make this a pretty exciting day and a pretty exciting start to free agency. But yeah, long answer to your question. I think Jagaird Davis and then maybe Royce Metchie as a close second.
Will, just on who stood out for you?
Well, I think I'm not sure I can't answer any other way than Andrew Harris, simply because it's something we really, frankly, didn't expect even at noon today. We kind of knew he wasn't going back to Winnipeg. That had been determined, but you know, everybody says, oh, he'll go back to BC or something like that. You know, they're spending a lot of money. They need a running back. And then, you know, around 3-4 o'clock, Farhan tweeted there's significant interest there. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, maybe, you know. And then, holy crap, Andrew Harris signed in Toronto. I know he's, you know, he's my age. He's 34. But, you know, he still ran the ball at a pretty effective clip in 2021. We know what he can do as a receiver. We know what he can do in pass protection. With him and DJ Foster, assuming they keep Foster around in the backfield, they have this two-headed monster that is that much better than the John White-Foster combo. And again, as a Canadian, he provides us with a ton of flexibility there. We want to start an American elsewhere. So for me, it's Andrew Harris, just out of the sheer surprise of it all.
There's something about this that really intrigues me, and that's the Canadian part that you mentioned, Will, because we don't know exactly what the Argos have planned here. Because you look at how Winnipeg used the running back spot, they had it as an exclusively Canadian position with Oliveira backing up, and then I think Johnny Augustine was third on the depth chart at running back, all three Canadian backs. You want to keep DJ Foster. He's such a fan favorite, and you know, we saw what he could do, especially when he's not the lead guy, when he's not the main ball carrier, when he can come in and just sort of pull that magic that we saw last year. I think did he debut in the Winnipeg game at home? It was one of those games. And yeah, that was fantastic. And so you don't want to lose a guy like that. But I was thinking to myself, like, how do you manage? Now, there are ways you can do it. You don't have to have, it doesn't have to be exclusively, you know, this position is just Canadian. You can find other ways around it. But it does take some creativity, and it really causes problems if you've got in-game injuries. So I don't know. I'm wondering if there's something else still to come. Do the Argos have their eye on a Canadian running back in the draft? Do they have their eye on another Canadian running back somewhere else? Is AJ Ouellette and DJ Foster, are they still going to be around, or are they looking at maybe one of the guys listed as fullbacks, like Pellerin, for example, who he was the lead ball carrier for Waterloo and University. So there are all sorts of options. I don't think this part of the puzzle is finished yet. It's a really intriguing signing. Like you're saying, you mentioned, Will, the pass protection. I think that is actually the biggest thing. I'm not a huge running backs guy, and my belief is that they deserve to be paid the most of every player in football, because I think running backs take the most punishment. I think they have one of the most difficult jobs physically. I think they, you know, ethically should be paid more than everybody else. But that said, as you know, as a general manager, I don't think I would do that. I think largely it's a makeup of the rest of the team. And I think if you know, rotated around the running backs around the CFL over the last 10 years, you roughly get the same numbers per team. Roughly, there are some differences. But where Harris does make a difference is pass protection and the experience and the confidence that the line has in blocking for a guy like that. We see it with kick returners, too. Kick returner will go to a new team, and suddenly he will inspire better blocking from his special teams unit, because they're like, oh man, I've got, you know, Chad Owens back there, or whoever it is. I better not miss my guy. And you can see the same impact in football with running backs. You've got a big name back that comes in, and the linemen are like, okay, I better make this hole, because Harris isn't going to take it if you know, he's running into my defensive tackle as soon as he gets the ball.
And I don't think you can discount. I mean, yeah, he is 34, but with that comes experience in reading these defenses and knowing when he has to stay back to block, or knowing when he can release out as the outlet guy. So I think that's going to be huge. As far as a Canadian thing goes for me, like, just based on the number of Canadians we have that we can put on the offensive line, I think we may go four Canadians on that offensive line. And then our receiving depth, I think for me, that was probably one of the biggest things they did was, they got DeVaris Daniels and Eric Rogers, who were like guys that were go-to in clutch moments. But then Juwan Breskison, he's got something to prove, because he went down, real early and didn't really get to show us what he's got. You've got Curley Gittens Jr. You've got a few guys that are ready to break out. So you know, if you have to bring in somebody to spell Andrew Harrison, you're looking at Foster or Ouellette. You can, take DeVaris Daniels out and throw in another Canadian receiver in there. But yeah, like you said, Ben, they could be eyeing something else that we're not quite seeing yet.
Yeah. I don't have, assuming everybody, knock on wood, stays healthy, I really had no worries about the Argos being able to keep the ratio. I mean, they're going to maybe start, three guys on beef, as I agree with you, Clay, four linemen, maybe two receivers, and maybe, they'll probably start three guys on defense at this point. I mean, they could sub in Robbie Smith at the one defensive end spot if they have to. But, I think Achi and Pong, Mwamba and Mechie are pretty well the favorites to start wherever they play. I'm not too worried about the ratio right now, on paper at least.
Doug, what was the big thing that stood out with all the moves the Argos made for you?
For me, on top of laughing at Hamilton for us stealing Jagaron Davis, then now laughing at everyone crying, saying, "Oh, salary cap again," now that we got Andrew Harris as well.
Have they not seen Ottawa?
Yeah. Exactly. We're going to basically, it's like, don't look at us. look up the 401 there, Sunshines. You'll find the guy. You'll find those people.
There were so many angry Tiger Cats fans today, and the most ridiculous comment I saw all day was somebody said, somebody accused the Argos of not doing any scouting and only taking other players from players from other teams and not contributing any new players. And
so, I saw that.
Yeah. So we put together a list just of the current roster, and there were 50 guys on the current Argos roster who have never played for any CFL team other than the Argos, or haven't played in the CFL at all until this year. And I don't think you would find another CFL team with that many guys that have only played for that team. So I think it's actually the opposite. And then you look at every starting quarterback in the CFL who was found by the Toronto Argonauts. And, it would seem such a ludicrous statement, but there's just so much anger in the hammer right now. So it's kind of fun.
Let them seethe.
Yeah, I was a little bit upset at Justin Dunk for tagging us in that Jagaron Davis thing, because my phone has been blowing up all day with angry Ticat fans. I mean, one side it's been, hilarious, but when I look at all of a sudden Twitter normally tells me, okay, you've got, 5-10 mentions. No, it says 20 plus, because that's as high as it will go.
Yeah,
and they're still coming in.
I'll tell you. By the way, I'm gonna plug another thing off the doubleblueorder.ca store right now. We have coffee mugs available that says Ticat's Tears.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
And at this point, we'll probably be adding more of every team in the league except for us.
I did.
So if you want to drink the tears of your rivals, Come see us, because we'll have a coffee mug or a travel mug with your least favorite team on it.
Oh, I think Ty Cat tears. I'd go for that.
I know there's a lot. I think there's a fair bit of people that would go for that. That's why I put it up there.
That's brilliant. That's the best mug idea I think I've ever heard.
I think we'd be remiss though if we didn't just kind of go through the whole list of guys the Argos did.
Yeah, sign I was just going through that. So we also inked Deshaun Amos, DB from Calgary. Justin Lawrence, offensive lineman from Calgary. Where else are we here?
Royce Metchie, Ernest Edwards. Royce Metchie. Yeah.
Also from Calgary. No, it's a pattern here.
Well, but we have a Calgary coach. We have a Calgary DC. What the heck do people expect us to do?
Linebacker Winton McManus.
Yep, that's a crucial get because, you know, Dexter McCoy retired. Chris Edwards is going to be out for the first six games. Cam Judge was traded for Royce Metchie, so he slides into, I think, Judge's spot. And, 86 tackles in 2019, tried to stand at the NFL, but I think he'll fit in nicely.
He's pretty flexible too. You can put him, how McCoy moved pretty much anywhere this year. Exactly. He's such a huge value. Like you can do that with McManus. In Calgary, he mostly played that will spot, but they had him at Mac as well when need be. Like when they had injuries and had to move some pieces around, he can play middle linebacker just fine. I don't think I would put him at the Sam spot, but we got a ton of DBs that we can move around there with the addition of Amos. You know, it'd be interesting to see. I know I'm all over the place here, but I'm really interested to see who they put at Sam to start the season with that Chris Edwards suspension, because you've got any of those three sort of halfback guys that could do it. Is it going to be Shaq? Is it going to be is Jeff Richards going to be back doing that? Or do you put Deshaun Amos at Sam? Because he could probably play there. I don't know if I've seen him play there before, but, any guy that sort of plays the inside. And with his physicality, I don't see why he couldn't be a Sam backer.
Could Kresden Butler do it? Because he's kind of the odd man out now with Metchie.
Yeah, and he's played a lot of halfback too. So, you don't know. And I do like Kresden as a Sam backer in principle, because he is another guy that's physical, another guy that has played in the box before. That they weren't afraid to bring down for run blitzes, and we saw all sorts of stuff with him. So, that's right, with Kresden. I kind of forgot about him. You've got four guys that could play there, and I know that's something that the defensive staff is probably really excited about, all these pieces they've got, who's going to play where. And then if everyone, knocking on wood, if everyone can stay healthy, then what do you do when Chris Edwards comes back and you've got all these guys? Man, I'm excited about the defense.
Well, I wonder... I was wondering if Chris Edwards was going to try to appeal down the suspension at all.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Although, if he keeps it, if they keep it, do you guys know when he'll return?
Oh, I know. But at the same time, he's a guy you maybe want, I'm... I'd rather have him in the lineup as soon as possible.
True, but having him come back when we have to play them at home the first time this season. I don't know, bit of a troll face happening here.
I feel that leading up to that, or after we talk about the social media, the Ticats social media after that game, we're probably going to hear a lot of this.
Are you kidding me? We're going to wear that siren out.
Also, there's some free agency signings from before.
Yeah. So as far as who we extended, Boris Beattie.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Boris the Boot.
McLeod Bethel Thompson, Darius Bladick, Matthew Boateng. We already mentioned Juwan Bruskison.
There's Daniels. Hinock Wamba.
Alexander Chevrier.
Robertson.
Yep. Robertson Daniel. Cam Glenn re-signed. Who else we got? Shane Richards. Robbie Smith.
Daniel. We mentioned Hinock already, right?
Yep.
Okay, because I was about to say Hinock stay.
And then some other guys that we kind of had on and off our practice roster and stuff like that. We re-signed Cam Phillips, wide receiver Sam Baker, DB Tarvarius McFadden. What else we got here? And then we re-signed Fabian Foote, who didn't – I don't know if he made much of an appearance last year, but and then we've also picked up Joe Cabone, Tony Jones. Where's we here? Okay, I'm gonna skip that name because I feel bad for people who've got to say.
Yeah, okay, we're gonna be praying for Goss come home opener, right?
This is the one who's
Alani
Pututau.
Yeah, Pututau. Something Pututau. Like that.
We apologize. We apologize if Clay and Will have just completely butchered that name, but brother. We apologize for that.
Yeah. Another couple of wide receiver Ernest Edwards, Solomon Ajayi, no relation. Austin Simons, DeMonte Coxey, and. How do you pronounce this?
Darice
Roberson.
He's exciting. Darice Roberson is fast. They got a couple guys that, like Ernest Edwards, we know is pretty quick too. But yeah, they're clearly looking. They need speed, right? That's something that they needed from the wide receiver position. And you've got these great possession receivers on the inside, and you've kind of got your outside guys and. Obviously, DeVaris Daniels playing the X and Gittens Jr. playing on the other side. But to have somebody that can just blaze out of there from that third receiver to the field side would really open things up, especially for Bruskison, but really for everybody. And so I would expect to see a bunch of just speed merchants brought in, guys like Darice Roberson. He's not a big guy. He's, I think, probably overlooked by the NFL just because of, you know, his stature. He doesn't look like an NFL body type. But you watch that guy's tape, he can move. He's exciting. That Wayne State offense, they ran a ton of like five wide stuff when he was there. And yeah, he just put up some great numbers, had some amazing catches. And all of these fast guys that they've got can punt return and kick return. So that was another thing that the Argos were sort of missing last year, was that guy that could take it to the house on any punt or kick. So yeah, I'm excited about Darice, but yeah, a few of these guys, Ernest Edwards too, but anyone with speed, please come on down.
Yeah, you're right. That was that one missing piece in the passing game that we were missing. We got a little bit of when Chandler Worthy had a few breakout games, but I like
Worthy. The problem with him is that he doesn't seem to have been able to adjust to playing anywhere other than outside. And no. You don't want to put him in, obviously, over DeVaris Daniels. And Curley Gittens Jr. is a fixture now. He's got to be, you know, one of the go-to guys on the Argos offense. So I don't know that I see Chandler Worthy ever being an inside receiver. And it's too bad, because that kind of speed, that sort of 4.2, 4.3 speed that Worthy has, you know, he said last year, he said he believes he's the fastest man in the CFL. And I don't doubt that, but we need him to play on the inside.
Yeah. I just feel we just never quite saw his full potential on the field.
The only time we seemed to see flashes of him, it was basically two things. It was either a go route from the outside, or we did see him occasionally find space basically running a cross or a deep crosser. But we didn't have time to get him the ball. And there was one where he ended up with a drop that went right in his hands. That actually might have even been from 2019. I'm not sure how good my memory is right now, but it's basically deep go routes. And when people sort of got the memo on that, it's hard in professional football. If people know that you're the real threat you pose is going deep on the outside, then you can take that away.
Yeah. And what with those speed guys, one, you know, they can't be one dimensional like that. Not in the CFL. You've got to be able to, you know, run at least, you know, middle of the road routes. You know, you don't necessarily have to be the best route runner, but you have to be able to make those cuts on a dime every now and then to get a guy running way past you. And Chandler Worthy just didn't seem like he was that guy that could cut some of those clean routes when he really needed to.
It's such a difference you see in the receivers that are known as great route runners, guys that aren't necessarily or even close to as fast, but are always open somehow. It's those guys you see on every team's got one or two of them in the CFL, and it seems like no matter what, somehow it's that, you know, second and eight, and you're like, well, okay, well, just let's make sure we cover this guy, and somehow he's got 10 yards of space on everybody, and that's what good route running does for you. It's such an important skill.
Now, stepping away from the Argos, the East is going to look quite different. At least up in Ottawa.
Yep.
What a 180.
It's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah. The CFL put out a sudden impact players signed by teams. And Ottawa has by far the most people because, well, they had the most positions that needed some impact.
And they by far needed the most work.
Yeah.
I think their fans would have mutinied if they weren't active in this free agent period.
Yeah.
Break out the lathe and the circular saws. This log needs to be recarved.
Yeah. It's not any coincidence. The most active teams today seem to be the ones who didn't make the playoffs.
Yep. So out of all the things that that we've seen, let's just go around the horn. What stood out to you or what scares you guys? Doug, since we left off with you on the last go round, what out there that does not involve the Argonauts stands out in your mind that you saw?
BC making a big splash. I mean, BC's going to go 1-2 Canadian quarterback.
When you think about the flexibility that gives them, right? With the quarterback salaries, we know what they are around the league. If Nathan Rourke is your starter and you're paying him under $100,000 to be your starter, you think of all the money that frees up for everywhere else, and you wonder why they're bringing in all these big receivers and signing all these big names. Well, they've got money to do it, and I don't think they're anywhere close to done spending.
Oh no, and I don't think so either.
No.
Yeah, they're going to be good. BC's going to be a good team.
And I think everyone in this league, BC is going to be the prohibitive heart pick.
Yeah.
Because everyone and their mother in the CFL wants the Canadian quarterbacks to succeed. And I would be happy for them to go 16 or 17 and however many times they play the Argos being their losses. I don't know. I don't have the schedule in front of me.
I think we got a home and away. So it's 16-2 then.
16-2. Okay. I'd be happy for them to go.
They can go 16-2 and lose to us in the Grey Cup.
Perfect.
We're good with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a bold move going all Canadian. But I mean, Nathan O'Rourke did look good last year. So why not?
And Michael O'Connor was a product of our system, so I don't see why he can't succeed.
Hashtag CFL scouting.
And plus, he's, you know, he played out there in Vancouver, played his university ball or some of it, you know, out in BC. You know, he likes that area, so he's probably going to feel a lot more at home playing out there than he did just about anywhere in the league. But yeah, that's they made a definite splash.
Well, I know some people are still a little bit worried about their, I guess their offensive line.
Yep. Hunter Stewart was, you know, one of their key pieces that they lost.
Yeah, he went to Ottawa, right?
He did.
Yep.
Well, one thing that's interesting with BC is I don't think they get credit for a Canadian starter if it's a quarterback.
No, not yet.
I'm trying to remember how that rule works. I don't think it counts as any nationality, right?
Not yet. That was something that they were discussing, but was never really written into the CBA, because they have to have those rules in the CBA.
It definitely should. Like, if you're thinking about what a reward that would be for starting a Canadian quarterback to give you the flexibility to do something somewhere else like that, I would love to see that change. Because BC should be rewarded for this move. I love this, that they're taking a chance like this. And I'm not even sure that it's that big a chance. Like, I like how he looked.
Well, I don't think BC believes they're taking. I think the only chance they believe they're taking is maybe on the backup spot.
Right.
Because they talked, at least, you know, last year, they talked about Nathan O'Rourke being, they'd be more than comfortable with Nathan O'Rourke being their starter.
Is it Rourke or O'Rourke?
No, it's Rourke. It's just Rourke. Yeah, there's Rourke, no O in there. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, well. But like they were talking last year that they were 100% comfortable with him being the guy.
It's bold. You know, and
his passport didn't come into play at all.
Yeah, this new owner is not playing. You know, he's willing to take a bold risk.
It's basically what we've seen with NFL teams who have a good rookie quarterback. And when you've got that rookie quarterback contract, it allows you to really load up everywhere else. And that's essentially what BC has. They're the only team in the league, basically, that has that sort of equivalent financial situation going on, where they're saving far more money at quarterback. I can't even think of, like, I don't even know what the next team would be for overall money spent on quarterback. There's no one even close to them. So, they can just load up wherever they want. They've got money coming out of their ears.
I think their quarterback salary is still less than anybody's starting quarterback salary in the rest of the league. Their total quarterback salary
might be half.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when even you look at the cheapest one out there, who do we have the cheapest one out there? I'd probably be in Edmonton, I believe. But and yet. Who knows? But yeah, that's insane. The other guys that made a little bit of a splash was Edmonton throwing a bucket of money at Kenny Lawler.
A lot of money.
Kenny Lawler, he caught it.
Do you remember how much people criticized the Argos with what they paid Darrell Walker a couple years ago? Saying, well, that's a lot of money to give a receiver. They just upped that by like $100,000.
A guy who just had his first 1,000-yard season, albeit in a shortened season.
And I like him. I think he's fantastic. But that is a lot of money. And good for him. And I'm not saying he shouldn't get it. I'm not saying he's not worth that. I think you are worth what anyone will pay you. I applaud that. I'm excited for him. I would not have made that deal as a GM.
Well, Edmonton's also paying Mark Corte highest O-line salary, apparently, as well. You know, guys like Ed Gainey and Dion Lacy didn't come cheap.
Are Calgary fans giving Edmonton the same hard time that Tiger Cat fans are giving us?
Oh, hell no.
Well, I mean,
that's a good question that we should pose to Turf District and Horsemen.
Yeah, I think though it's a different situation out there with the way Calgary has been for, you know, the better part of the last 30 years, where they've just been okay. Yeah, you could do what we're going to do us, and you know, it may be Edmonton fans giving Calgary a hard time, but I don't think you're going to get much going the other way from Calgary to Edmonton, because you know they've been the model franchise for the better part of the last 30 years.
I just think with the money they've spent, I know, you know, it's not something I question. It's not something I particularly care about, but I know like we said off the top of the show, it's just nonstop for salary cap from Hamilton fans. But yeah, with all these big name or at least big money Edmonton signings,
yeah,
there's got to be a few Calgary fans going, well, hang on a second, what's going on up there?
Why isn't anybody pointing, like, you know what, like pointing fingers at Ottawa? Like, I'm not suggesting at all that Ottawa's violating the salary cap, but just because it's Toronto, people are gonna, you know, go after the Argos.
Because if it's not the salary cap, then they're going after the lowest hanging fruit. First of all, it's the salary cap. Then it'll be the attendance. Now it'll be Andrew Harris's supplements now as well.
Oh, we can't make those jokes anymore.
No, but actually we can, because the way I look at it, it's like MLSC can just throw money at the league and say, yeah, look the other way. If you really want to get the conspiracy theories going, that's what I just said. Yes.
You know what? I would love for a story to come out that said MLSC just literally threw money at the league to say, to make something
disappear
on field related disappear. You know, on-field advantage, unfair advantage disappear. I would love that, because then you would finally get that concrete evidence that we have owners that actually do care about the team.
Oh, they. You know,
I believe they care about the team. I believe we've had owners, but it just, you know. By and large, the people out there that, you know, are not with, well, even some within the fan base, you know, don't believe we've had owners that have cared, you know, for a long time.
Well, I think, you know, MLSC is a controversial topic, to be sure. And I mean, I think it, you know, not everybody in Toronto is a Leaf fan. And I frankly think it, you know. If you're a Leaf fan, I think you have more confidence in this ownership group than.
Yep.
Then what?
Did we lose Will?
Did he trip the ball somewhere?
We may have lost Will.
Uh-oh. What?
I think we lost Will.
No, I can't hear you.
No, oh, okay. We couldn't hear you.
Oh. I'll be back in a second.
Okay. Now, the other one thing I wanted to kind of get came out is the Argos announced back in January their 2022 coaching staff. With as we saw with a couple of our guys being sent home due to vaccination issues. And, we lost our third defensive coordinator for the year to Edmonton. We all saw that coming. So Ryan Dinwiddie's taking on officially the offensive coordinator role, as well as head coach. We've got Chris Sweet as our offensive line coach. Mike Miller is going to deal with the quarterbacks. Pete Costanza. Receivers and pass game coordinator Edwin Harrison is running backs and quality control. Corey Mace steps in as our defensive coordinator and defensive line. Kevin Iben is back as linebackers coach. William Fields, a secondary coach. Joshua Bell, newly vaccinated defensive backs coach, comes back. And Mickey Donovan is taking over special teams coordinator. Ben, you've been a coach. How does this coaching lineup stack up in your opinion?
I love this coaching staff. There's a few reasons for this. They've got, I think number one, they've got a really nice combination of sort of bright up and comers and veteran coaches. So in the last like 5 or 6 years, the names that you kept hearing bounced around the league as sort of the next big guy, they're basically all on the staff. So Ryan Dinwiddie was the first one. Everyone was talking about Coach Dinwiddie and you know how bright he is. And I think we've all seen that. We've heard him talk and we've, you know, sort of seen him go through the X's and O's, and what he does on the field is highly intelligent. I love his stuff. And he's brought in guys that are very similar to him, like Pete Costanza. We've been hearing about for years and the amazing things that he did back in Calgary with the receivers there and the next level knowledge that he had with concepts, passing concepts and sort of getting his receivers to understand and, you know, play within a system instead of play for themselves. And so, you know, him coming from Winnipeg, I know that was a huge loss for them because they thought so highly of him. But yeah, he's coming in as the receivers coach and passing game coordinator. I'm really excited about that because he and Dinwiddie do have a bit of a relationship. They, you know, they've known each other for a long time. And I think they're very similar in the way that they dissect the game. So those two together, I'm very excited about. Add to that, on the other side of the ball, Corey Mace and Josh Bell, who we only got to see for a little bit last year. But Corey Mace, I'm really excited about. He's another young up-and-comer who all four of these guys, and I know Coach Dinwiddie is already a head coach, but Pete Costanza, Corey Mace, Joshua Bell, I can see all of those guys being head coaching candidates in the next few years. And they all have that same sort of mold. They're really bright guys who have an elite understanding of the game, but they also have this ability to relate to players. They're also really adamant technique guys that have experience and, you know, guys like Joshua Bell, you know, they have played the game recently. He's a young guy. Corey Mace, same thing. And they're not teaching outdated techniques and, speaking to their players in a language that makes them seem like they're from another century. And so those guys I'm really excited about. And then you add in the experienced guys, Chris Sweet on the offensive line. And those are big shoes to fill because I really like Coach McAdoo. And I was worried about the O-line position. I feel very comfortable with Coach Sweet in there. Mike Miller, quarterback's coach, that's a can't miss. I'm interested to see Coach Bell and Coach Fields working together in the secondary. And I think that's kind of a neat combination. I think that's going to be pretty exciting to watch. I'm excited to see practices with those two guys together. And then Mickey Donovan, special teams, coming from Montreal. We knew there were so many problems we had with special teams last year. I love Coach Nelson. I think he's done so much for the CFL game. He's been coaching forever in the CFL, and he's had just about every single job, every single positional job. I really wanted to see him succeed, but there were so many problems last year, especially in protection. They just couldn't nail that down, protecting Boris Beattie in punt formation. It just seemed like every game we were in jeopardy of a ball being blocked for a touchdown. And so I'm just excited to see a change there. I'm sad to see Coach Nelson go because I really do like him. But yeah, Mickey Donovan's great, and I've only heard good things about him. So all in all, you know, you're getting Coach Iben back, and you know we know what we're getting with Coach Dinwiddie. This is an exciting staff, but they're faced yet again with having to gel very quickly. Just like we had a whole new staff coming into 2021, we basically got that whole situation again. We've got, six new faces in the coaching room? So we'll see how it goes, but I'm very optimistic about this combination of guys we have.
The way Mike Hogan explained it to me was the reason they have Coach Fields and Coach Bell, like, seemingly doing the same thing is, because Coach Mace is also going to be doing the defensive line, they wanted, I guess, somebody to I guess they wanted an extra set of eyes to look at sort of the linebackers and the defensive backs, I suppose, especially now in today's CFL where you know, linebackers are having to play, you know, pass defense more and more.
And the Sam linebacker really is a defensive back. Like when I talked to Coach Bell before the season last year, I was asking him, you know, positionally, how much time does the Sam backer spend with you versus Coach Ivan? And he's like, he's mine. If he's a Sam backer, he's a DB. And so that's half the defense is the defensive secondary. So it makes sense just in terms of sheer numbers. If you got 6 out of your 12 guys on the field playing in the defensive secondary, well, then, yeah, you should probably have 2 coaches there. You've got 1 linebacker coach for 2 linebackers. So, yeah, you should probably have 2 secondary coaches for 6 defensive backs. So, yeah, and I don't know exactly how they're going to split that up, whether it's going to be outside guys like Coach Bell's focusing in on corners or if they're going to maybe split it up by field side and boundary side. I don't think that makes as much sense, but I'm sure they'll have a plan in place for how that's going to work. But, yeah, it's two coaches I'm pretty excited about seeing on the field. But we'll see how it works. We'll see how this all goes. It doesn't – a coaching staff on paper that hasn't all worked before, and I know a lot of them have ties to each other in sort of a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon sort of way, but they haven't worked together as a staff. So we'll see how quickly they gel. We'll see if there are any conflicts. It's interesting, and I'm not trying to start a fire here or really suggest that there's anything to this, but it is interesting how many coaches left Toronto to go to Edmonton with Coach Jones. That I wasn't thrilled about that, and it made me a little nervous. And, you know, hopefully that's just because of the opportunities and the increased responsibility that some of these coaches are getting. But, yeah, you don't like to see coaches from your team, you know, up and leave, especially if it's a lateral move. But, you know, maybe it's a situation where the feeling was sort of mutual and maybe both sides wanted to go in different directions. But, you know, whatever happened, I think this staff is as promising as any staff in the CFL. So I'm thrilled.
Well, we know that Chris Jones does command some loyalty from McAdoo. You knew was going with him.
Yeah, that wasn't a surprise.
I guess Jackson and whoever else went with him. Well, yeah, maybe a bit of a surprise. But one of the things too, we're talking the coaching staff is the Argos haven't announced their football operations team yet. We know Jim Barker's involved somehow because he was in the picture of them signing Wynton McManus yesterday. We know Pinball's involved. We know Vince Magri's involved. If there's anyone else involved, that hasn't been announced to us yet, has it?
Nothing official. And it's weird that we haven't heard anything about Barker because clearly he's there. Like he's in photos. Yeah. People see him walking into the building. He's there. But yeah, we haven't heard anything official from the team. And I don't know what they're waiting on for that because it's not a secret move. I don't know why that would be.
And they're able to get stuff done.
Yeah, I know they talked about him as a consultant, so that may be why they're not really saying, okay, this is what Barker's doing. What I do know, based on a change that came through my email from his LinkedIn profile, Vince Magri is now the assistant general manager of the Toronto Argonauts. So I don't think they let him change that on his on his LinkedIn profile if it didn't happen. So,
and that's great to hear for him. I love Vince Magri. I think he's one of the most talented scouts basically in the league. Like, you know, the guys that he's brought in since he arrived, he just doesn't miss very often. Everyone's gonna miss sometimes. You do. It's inevitable. You can't get every pick right. But the number of picks that he not only gets right, but that he's got, you know, punching way above their class. It's quite something. So there's still a few guys that we want to see come around that we're waiting on. You know, guys like Brissett, for example, we really want to to see him take off. That was a high pick. But yeah, some of the guys that he's found, especially in later rounds, guys like Josh Haggerty, who no one expected anything out of. And there he is. There he is starting. He's contributing on special teams. Fantastic gunner, playing crucial plays. There's so many people that he's found that I think other teams would have passed on or did pass on. And he's found value in late rounds. So his eye for spotting talent is outstanding. I think the best idea you could possibly have is get him doing more. And so if that means a promotion and you've got him looking a bit more south of the border than north of the border too, great. I trust his eyes over anyone's.
I think what people were talking about was finding somebody who could sort of handle the American scouting, you know, part of it.
You know, and that is a loss.
Yeah.
So we'll see how they figure that out. But yeah, they don't seem to have missed a beat.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm uneasy about Barker doing anything more than consultant. I don't. I wasn't particularly crazy about his work here, sort of over the last the last couple years of his general manager tenure. I know he had to deal with probably a lot of bullshit from David Braley, but I just didn't feel like his, you know, I know he didn't like free agency very much, but at the same time, I didn't feel like he was missing a lot of his recruits as well. Guys weren't really working out, I felt.
No, not near the end of his tenure. This is what his like 17th go around with this team. It feels like that. He just seems to go somewhere, then comes back to the Argos. I don't know if he's, you know, right on the beat of exactly what this team needs as far as the game now. But as far as going about how you got to do stuff and how you, you know, being a consultant and teaching the next guy, I think that's, you know, exactly what they need. So they'll probably have some guys come up. And the other thing too is, you know, we talk about all these guys that the Argos have brought in that have, you know, all these quarterbacks that are, they're starting everywhere else. You also got to look at our front office. John Magri or Vince Magri was brought into the Argos as a video coordinator in 2013. And within a year, he was promoted to director of Canadian scouting and just kept moving up the line. So, you know, not only can we find guys that actually succeed on the field, we've got guys in our front office that they've been pretty decently picking up that can, you know, maybe not big names, but guys that are actually doing the job.
Vince Magri, I think it's such a cool story, and I would like to know more. Like I don't have a ton of information about him. I haven't talked to him a lot, but I know, you know, he's a center at McMaster, and then, you know, he graduates there. He, as you said, gets a video coordinator job, but then it seems like 10 years of things must have happened within that 1 year as a video coordinator, because suddenly he's like one of the most important jobs in the organization. And that, of course, crossed with some of Jim Barker's time. And let's not forget about some of Barker's contributions too. Like I know the last few years weren't great, but let's not forget that he was the guy that brought in Mike O'Shea as a coach for the first time, as his special teams coach. He brought in Orlando Steinhauer for his first coaching gig, defensive backs. And there was a trade for a quarterback that went pretty well for the Argos too, bring in Ricky Ray. So there were moments where everything he touched turned to gold, but then there were also the lean years. So you got to kind of pick and choose the way you remember Jim Barker.
Yeah. He's been pretty good as far as the spotting talent. So up until the last year or so of his tenure, the last go around with Toronto. You know, look at the court.
I felt sort of once Chris Jones left for Edmonton the first time, that's when it kind of fell apart. he couldn't replace some of those guys on defense. That was the big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, like you said, you're, Vince Magri is, you know, one of those Jim Barker hires that seems to have worked out. Now, quickly, before you got a run, Ben, we wanted to get your thoughts on bringing back McLeod Bethel-Thompson as a starting quarterback for your Toronto Argonauts.
So I like it, and I also still have questions. I really like McLeod Bethel-Thompson as a quarterback, and I like him even more now than I did last year. And last year I felt pretty optimistic going into the season. I like Nick Arbuckle as well. So the way I saw it, though, is Arbuckle to me suited Coach Dinwiddie's system a lot better than McLeod Bethel-Thompson did. And we saw some of the struggles that Macbeth had last year. It wasn't his best statistical season. He did some amazing things. His win-loss record was very good. But it just never seemed to me, even at the end, you know, even watching that Eastern final, it just felt like it wasn't, there was something that wasn't quite right. And I just don't know if Coach Dinwiddie's system was the best for him. Now, Coach Dinwiddie is a very flexible coach. He talks about calling plays for quarterbacks very differently. If he's got, you know, if he had Nick Arbuckle in there, the package he was using is going to be very different from McLeod Bethel-Thompson. But this was an offense designed for Nick Arbuckle. And we saw McLeod Bethel-Thompson have to go through the same thing when he was basically playing in an offense that designed by Coach Chapdelaine, who was an offense designed for James Franklin. And now McLeod Bethel-Thompson, a very different player, is in there quarterbacking. It would be really nice for McLeod Bethel-Thompson to go into a season with an offensive structure and system designed entirely with him in mind. Because as much as he's been criticized, he's never really had an opportunity to do that. Every time he's come in, someone else has been the guy, and he's taken over with what they're working with. And so Coach Dinwiddie's system that involves a lot of RPOs, which he admittedly got a lot better at, wasn't really something that he did a lot of coming in. That was something that Arbuckle did a lot going back to his college days at Georgia State. But yeah, not so much MBT. And so that's something that will help. And I think also you look at, I know Marshall Ferguson put out a graphic a little while ago that I think we were all sort of shocked by, to see McLeod Bethel-Thompson's numbers on deep balls. I think it was passes over 30 yards. I don't want to get this wrong, but I believe he was 1 for 17. I think that sounds about right.
That sounds about right, yeah.
And that just stunned me, because I think of McLeod as being such a good deep ball guy. You know, when we saw him succeed in that forgettable 2019 season, it didn't seem like every pass he completed was a bomb downfield. And so I kind of had it in my head. I didn't really notice. And when I saw that graphic from Marshall, I thought about it, and right away I knew all the plays that were completed over 30 yards, and yeah, they weren't there. And so, you know, is that McLeod Bethel-Thompson being suddenly a different quarterback who can't hit a deep ball? It's probably not. It's probably more system related and his integrating into the system. So I'm excited about the fact that with him running an offense that wasn't designed for him, the Argonauts were able to finish first in the East, host the Eastern Final. And so now you've got what I think is going to be a better team coming into this year with a system designed for him. I really like it. This guy is such an interesting guy, and a guy that when you talk to, you can't help but cheer for him. And I hope nothing more than for him to succeed this year. And I think there's a chance to do that. I know Coach Dinwiddie's certainly smart enough and flexible enough. He's not a stubborn guy with regards to stuff like this. He'll see. He'll look through his offense. He'll make the changes needed. And I think they're all going to be positive ones for McLeod Bethel-Thompson. So I'm expecting a good year from him. And I think this is the good test. This is it. You know, if this year doesn't go well for McLeod Bethel-Thompson, or if this year is sort of up and down and we're not really sure going to the next year, then, you know what, I think we'll have our answer. Because I think this is the first time he will have had a legitimate fair shot. So I'm optimistic. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, the one thing that I noticed with McLeod Bethel Thompson, and I mean, I've got bias because I when I saw his name, the first thing I thought of was a law firm, and I gave him that nickname right out the boat and just wanted that to succeed. But that aside, the one thing that I've seen about him in his tenure here is he is a leader, not always in the stats, but players really seem to like him and want to play for him. And the one thing that just blew my mind last year was when you saw him run out on the field to help an injured player off. And I cannot even remember a time when you saw a quarterback go out there to help a defensive player, quarterback help anybody off the field. It's just something that, you know, you never saw, but everybody just seems to really want him to, everybody on the team wants him to succeed. And that's an intangible that you're not going to get with every single quarterback.
Yeah, there's no Hollywooding with him. And on top of that, that moment, I remember that so well. Like I was like tearing up watching that happen. I've never seen that before. You don't, when have you seen a quarterback run out into the field, a starting quarterback run out into the field to help another guy off? It was just amazing. But it's not just that. You could make a 10-minute video of McLeod Bethel Thompson hanging in the pocket and taking hits for the sake of his guy getting open. He's waiting on his receiver's break, and he knows, if I just wait for a second, I know I'm going to get absolutely pounded into the ground, but my guy's going to be open. And he'll wait for that second, wait for that late break, that deep dig route, whatever it is. He took hit after hit, and he just kept getting up. And his teammates see that. Maybe not always live on the field because they're out there doing their jobs. The defense certainly sees it. But in that film room, when they're studying film for the next week and they see him just getting clobbered so that Gittens Jr. could get that extra step and some separation so that Ricky Collins had time, so that Deverus Daniels could finish his double move, whatever it is, he will take the hit for you. And so you're going to reciprocate. And anyone that's going to take a hit for you, you're going to play that much harder for them. And I love that about his game. He's just selfless.
Go ahead.
But completely, you know, that was the direction the Argos were going to go into. What other choice were, you know, there wasn't a lot of other places they could have gone. You know, and the fact is, if, you know, they bided their time to wait to see if Mazzoli was interested, you know, what does that say to MBT? You know, and then you end up in a situation where, you could have lost out on both.
And I don't know if you want Mazzoli over Bethel Thompson anyway. Like, I'll take Bethel Thompson any day over Mazzoli.
At this point, I don't think so.
And I don't think they wanted to. Yeah, I don't think Mazzoli was worth the money he got in Ottawa. And I know Toronto wasn't willing I don't think they're willing to pay him, you know, more than what they paid McLeod Bethel Thompson anyway.
Which was quite a bit.
It was. Yep. It was. And but that's the going rate for a starting quarterback. And actually, I guess it's a little under the going rate for a starting quarterback in the CFL. So unless you're BC. But it's a nice little quarterback room they're building with McLeod Bethel Thompson starting. You got Antonio Pipkin back. And we saw that was sort of a nice one, too, that Dinwiddie liked using. And then Cole McDonald, who is an exciting young guy. Austin Simmons, same thing. Let's see what those guys can do. Austin Simmons, remember, he's coming from South Dakota, so it's that Chris Streveler. I guess he was Streveler's backup at South Dakota. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he's got anything. Watching his film was kind of interesting. So none of those guys like Cole McDonald, Austin Simmons, we're not going to see them this year, but they're exciting young guys to have in the program, learning under Pipkin and McLeod Bethel Thompson. I like those four guys. They'll bring in a couple more, but they're off to a pretty good start. I like the quarterback room.
Yeah, I thought Pipkin was a free agent today, and I said, "Oh, looks like he's resigned." And he goes, "No, I'm not a free agent."
Yeah. It's like, hey guys, I'm still here.
Hey, don't forget about me. I'm still here.
But he, you know, there was a funny thing about the team last year that they just seemed more like a family than a bunch of teammates. You know, they just, they everything they're putting out there, I don't know if it was, you know, curated by, you know, by the team or anything, but it just seemed like everything was just, you know, everybody loved to be here and loved to be around this group of, you know, of people in the organization, players, coaches, everybody, that most people just seem to really like it. And that's one of those things that you can't measure or quantify that you really want to see in a team like that.
Well, we have the best salesperson in the Canadian Football League.
The closer.
Yeah.
So is that what we're going to call him now? Michael Closer Clemens?
the pinball closer.
Well, I still like going back to the banner, the pinball wizard. Mm. Right? It fits. It really does. So, all right, Ben, want to thank you for joining us and talking all things Argos off-season free agency. We'll have to have you back on when we get to the draft because, well, you'll know more about that than us.
I've got some digging to do because I'm way behind this year because my Cincinnati Bengals are still playing football and that never happens. So usually I've spent like 3 months by now. Yeah, it's different. This doesn't feel right. Here I am in February.
Oh, watching. No. First time, I think I was 2 years old when last time they had made the Super Bowl, so I didn't remember.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm older than you, but I, you know, as a 5 or 6 year old, they were in the Super Bowl the first time, which is how I got developed my interest in the Bengals. Their helmets, and then I guess grade 7 was the last time they were there, and that was a long time ago. So we're talking talking late 80s. It has been a while. Yeah. So
here's hoping. That was their blowout loss to the 49ers, the first Super Bowl I remember watching, and I remember watching that my dad, because he's a big Niners fan. So
they came back. It was like 20-0, yeah. But then they came back and they had a chance at the end, but the Niners it was too much ground to make up. And
both of their losses were actually relatively close. I think it was Clay, you're thinking of the year the 49ers beat the Broncos 55-10.
I was a young kid and I've had a few head injuries.
It's all good, but yeah, I think starting next week I'll definitely have to get into some of these players coming up for the CFL draft, because that's always exciting for me. I love going through U Sports tape. So I'm completely in the dark right now, but I promise next time we get together I'll be fully up to speed. I'll have watched hours of film. I'll be wearing my Cincinnati Bengals Super Bowl champions T-shirt, and we'll go over the upcoming CFL draft.
All right, thanks, Ben.
Thanks so much, guys. Love being on here. Love the show.
Good luck to your Bengals in the Super Bowl.
Thanks. Yeah, all the best, guys.
All right, and with that, Ben's gone. He's got a few other commitments he's got to finish up this evening. But, you know, before we officially get into the 3 minute warning of all this, once again, our social media team, led by Mr. Kruger,
knocks it out of the park.
Out of the park. He's like knocked it out of the continent at this point. I mean, the little things that he's done, that even some that have gone completely unnoticed. And he even made a change in the last 20 minutes. So
Is he changing bios again?
He's changing bios again. So when we talked about this show last week, or the end of last week, we had his bio listing the Toronto Argonauts as Calgary East, which made sense. We were picking up a lot of Calgary players. And then after resigning Juwan Breskison, he changed it to unfinished business with the wave emoji. And within the last 20 minutes of us recording the show, he's now changed it to in pinball we trust. Wave
emoji. Oh, yes.
You know, it's these minor things. And even he's even I got to find, there was another thing that he did that went completely unnoticed. I'm just pulling up his like,
well, somebody noticed it.
It didn't go entirely unnoticed then.
Well, it was something that he actually tweeted out. That is, he said, "I'm surprised nobody noticed this."
It was the whole. I think he was one of his changes on the, like one of his profile changes or whatever.
I'm beginning to think someone should start up an account to basically tell people when he's changed the bio. Because I know there's an account that monitors the account, the Twitter account of the Young Bucks, and whenever they change their bio to something, screenshot on Twitter.
I wonder if we can create a bot that will do that for us.
I have no idea. It's beyond my pay grade.
I don't know how to robot.
Well, I can't find it here, but yeah, it could have been that Calgary East thing, but he's done so many that I'm not sure. Yeah. He is on another level. He's one of those guys that just, the whole team just seems to be able to nail the things, you know, both on trend and, you know, right when you need it to happen, not, you know, later when, you know, it seems reactionary. And he's even throwing out the reactionary stuff just for fun too. So we want to give that. And the other nice thing that the Argos have done, in the community, they've partnered with the Flag Football League in Malton, and looks like there's some players that are going to be helping out. The Malton Neighborhood Service launched Argos Flag Football, and if anybody's interested, MLSC Foundation put out a nice little video of it. Yeah, it's a free program with quality coaching. And the Argos are sponsoring it. So, you know, you want to get the young people in, this is how you do it. You get them enjoying the game, and they're going to want to come. They're going to want to see more and more and more and more.
Give them tickets. You know what? I don't care if they're going to get freebies for a little bit. That turns them into paying customers.
They're kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give them the freebies.
Yeah.
I think the Argos should be offering up massively discounted tickets to any school that wants them.
Yeah, give them.
Any youth football group that wants them, any youth organization in the GTA that wants them, they should be able to get some kind of a discount. And, you know, maybe the more you buy, the more discount you get. Something like that, but that's for smarter people.
Give them Thunder Sticks and East Side hamburgers.
Oh. Argos Town Halls.
We never. It's a bit of an inside joke that only us would get, but it's
much anybody would understand that if they had been to any of the Argos Town Halls, because I think
that the last Argos Town Hall, to be perfectly honest.
I was in Vancouver for the last one, but I just kept. Of course, it's 3 hours behind you guys, so it's like still mid-afternoon, and I keep getting these like facepalm emojis from everybody, and it's like, what in blazes is going on?
Oh,
one thing good thing about the pandemic is the Argos don't have to host one of these things in a while.
Oh no, they can host it, just they can have it pre-recorded, and they can
bring in the questions.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. And I think that's what they've done.
Yes. But
yeah, no, some of those live questions were.
Oh, they were. Oh, God. Especially after you gave out a free beer, too. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Free
beer and food.
I think they learned their lesson with, well, the free food wasn't the bad idea. It was the free beer that was the bad idea. Like, but I'm pretty sure they learned their lesson because of that.
Well,
here. All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
The longest 3 minutes in all of podcasting. The 3 minute warning. First of all, I have to mention. Shout out to Matt Dunnigan, because he posted something yesterday, and he has grown a magnificent beard.
Really?
Yes.
Matt Dunnigan and a beard.
It's, yeah, and not only that, it's like a mature beard.
Oh, yeah.
But... He looks great with it.
He had a beard briefly during his playing career.
Yeah, but it probably didn't look as good as this.
No.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Damn.
He looks good.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, he had the... Yeah, it was... yeah. This one is completely white. The last one he had was actually the kind of beard that was in fashion about 2 or 3 years ago, that was, you know, pretty tightly cropped, a little bit tighter on the sides, but it was all brown. Now he's got the white beard, and it works.
Mm-hmm. I'm debating whether or not to do a quick best of face bitch.
I think we have things from last week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly why I want to go there.
Go there.
Okay. So, quick little best of face bitch. Now, for those, I'm going to give the whole preamble here. Just very quickly. Got this off my local radio station, where I'm just going to take random quotes off of Facebook. And I'll present them to you with, well, I'm going to present it to you guys without context, but I'm pretty sure you'll figure it out by the end of it, or even by maybe the second or third one. And thankfully, since podcasts are not regulated by the Canadian Radio and Telecommunications Commission, anything that is in all caps, I do not have to scream, and I'm doing that for the benefit of my co-hosts. All right, are we ready?
Yep.
Let us begin. Let's see. Here we go. This is like 2 weeks old. We all knew that, but yes, more 5-yard passes because he can't throw deep.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ding, 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 ding.
I think you've got it, yeah.
Who is McLeod Bethel Thompson?
Correct! Correct. you got control of the board, Clay.
I'll take best of face pitch for 400, Doug.
Okay. Hold on.
Did I throw you off with the Jeopardy answer?
Yeah, you did actually a little bit.
Did you answer in the form of a question?
I did. I said, who is McLeod Bethel Thompson?
Somebody in Jeopardy actually didn't today.
He got, that hasn't happened in a while, has it?
He got told.
Who told him?
Maya Bialik.
Ooh, you don't want to get told by Blossom.
No.
I just dated myself with that one. Anyway, here's another one. A mediocre QB. In the CFL, QBs need to be able to run. Why the Argos continually employ pocket passers is beyond me.
Ding, ding, okay. Ding, ding, ding. Are they referring to McLeod Bethel Thompson?
Have they not met Ricky Ray?
Maybe you can go on his Zen.
Have they not met Damon Allen?
Well, Damon Allen, in his later career.
Oh. What about Danny McManus? He's still running the naked bootleg.
Well, in his defense, that's still that one play from 1988 that he still hasn't finished running yet.
Mm.
Did he throw a pick on that play?
Probably.
Okay.
He's a little slow. He's a little slow on his feet.
Okay. Here's another one. A cost savings move that could bring in a lot of free agents. 4! Good job. He has a heart of gold. Now for our backup. Harris?
Pipkin, apparently.
That's going to be Pipkin.
I didn't think you would.
Whatever. Somebody spaced on his contract.
You know, speaking of the other Harris that's out there.
He's not anymore. He signed in Montreal.
Yeah, that shocked me. But when the news came out of Andrew Harris signing, I happened to be at work and all I saw was the headline, Harris signs in Toronto. And I think Trevor Harris is long past his expiration date. And I literally thought, oh God, what the hell is going on? And then I saw the byline, Andrew Harris. I'm like, okay, that one I can stomach that one.
And then you went, wait, what?
Yeah. Oh, that was like, oh shit.
It's like one of those things where you go, phew, and you go, wait a minute, what the hell?
Well, you know what the weird thing is? That was one of the things when it first came out that he was having contract disputes with Winnipeg. They weren't necessarily on the same page and stuff like that. You know, I thought about it. I'm like, man, wouldn't it be funny if he just signed in Toronto? And then I thought, I'm like, what am I? He's going to go to BC. What? That's just a stupid thought. So I never bothered to say it. And I'm like, man, I wish I did. I wish I did because I would have been that guy.
Okay. All right. Here's another one. But he just is not the QB to deliver us a Grey Cup. He is a journeyman QB based on his proven history. Many other reasons, but I do not want to write a novel.
See Ben Grant's comments.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one. He's not good. He's a good guy. Pinball likes him. His teammates like him. Seems like a nice family man. He appreciates the opportunity here in Toronto to make a living playing football, but he can't connect on deep passes. He can't run in the backfield. His play action fakes fake no one. And the Argos were saved by the kicker all season. So, yes, I think the Argos should aim higher. I have a question to that. Where were they going to go?
Exactly.
You want them to aim higher, but where would they go out of the crop of quarterbacks that are available?
The only place for them to go that would be higher than what was there would be figuring out a trade.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, honestly, yeah. I never looked at this from the when Ben brought this up that, you know, he's always worked in systems that were designed for somebody else who has a different skill set. Somehow that never crossed my mind that, you know, okay, things might be different if they're designing for him.
Yeah, because when you think, about it, he was, let's see, there was, when he first came in, it was Ricky Ray's system.
Yep.
Then it was James Franklin's system.
Yep. And then it was Nick Arbuckle's system.
Then it was Nick Arbuckle's system.
Yeah.
So now it's going to be his system.
Yeah. Once again, that person can see Ben Grant's comments.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one. This is all very nice of you to write, but sports is about winning and not about nice people. MBT isn't a winner. His play is predictable and boring. He's not terrible, but he's also not a $400,000 starting quarterback. This is a big mistake, and 2022 is a write-off unless another quarterback steals a job from him. Wow.
Well, I mean,
uneducated comment. To me, that's uneducated.
Yeah.
Well, there's no middle of the road with MBT, is there?
No.
He's you know what? I can equate him with somebody now. Actually a couple of people. If you're a wrestling fan, you're going to know. John Cena and Cody Rhodes, a more recent example. Incredibly polarizing. Incredibly polarizing. People hate him just because it's cool to hate him. Kind of like the way it is with our team. In the more broader scheme. I think, and like I said, I think he is going to be the most polar. I mean, if they built the defense around him, give him all the tools necessary to succeed, I think he's going to have a bounce back season, and he's going to shut a hell of a lot of people up.
Yeah, especially if they, you know, not only do they build the defense around him, but they build the offense too.
I said offense.
No, he said defense.
I
had to get the, you got me earlier in the show. I had to get you now. So.
Fuck. I thought I said offense. I swear I did.
Well.
Okay. One more last to face bitch.
Yeah. Here we go. This is why a cement post has more mobility.
Don't need to insult Danny McManus like that.
No. There's a hell of a lot of quarterbacks you don't have to insult like that. Good Lord, man.
Well, the last thing we need to get to, it wouldn't be an Argos fan cast without tweets from Kazakhstan.
It would not.
And he hasn't tweeted a lot.
But he's tweeted enough.
But a couple of them have really, really cut deep.
Oh, yeah.
Deshaun almost doesn't know what to make of him.
So a reporter from Hamilton who works for CTV now in Winnipeg tweeted out, sometimes I change my location on Hinge. And for those, I had to
it's a look dating this app. Up.
Yeah, it's a dating app. To random places in America because love is dead. And it's fun to keep toxic life toxic. Anyways, a man just asked my favorite football team. And I have never been more excited to read the response to Hamilton Tiger Cats. Spell Tiger Cats wrong, by the way. There's a hyphen in there.
Doesn't
but
matter.
Our friends from Kazakhstan.
Doesn't matter. It's an animal that doesn't exist. Keep going.
But the our friends from Kazakhstan quoted the tweet and said, "That's good. You're used to frustration. It is a good experience to meet someone from other villages."
I've got a good one.
Okay.
And this one was also a retweet, but it was from the International Chess Federation, where a 17-year-old Kazakh girl won a silver medal in the women's speed rapid division or speed division or whatever the hell it is. Scored 14 out of 17, winning 13 games. That's impressive. But our friend from Kazakhstan put, "Young Kazakh girls became championships more than Tiger Cats. We feel sorry for Tiger Cat fans." I can't pronounce the name. "Lived longer. The girl lived longer than your team won."
Oh, and speaking with the slander of all things Hamilton, the CFL tweeted out a picture of Tim Hortons Field with a bunch of when the Canadian men's soccer team played there last, and he quoted the tweet and said, "At Hamilton Stadium, the support of the home team should be unique."
I'm just gonna okay. Shrug on that one. However, yeah. one last one. When the Argos tweeted "Showtime" with a clock emoji. Kazakh tweeted, "This is a good time to be as greedy as a Russian bear." And boy, were we.
Do you know what, though? We weren't
the greediest.
We weren't the greediest. I think we went up there, let the, you know, we had our targets. We got our targets. And then we just kind of like, okay, yeah, well, no, oh, you left that over there? Good, I like that. I'll take that. I'll take that, and I'll take that.
It's like going to a conveyor sushi restaurant. everyone takes all the really exotic stuff, and all that's left is maybe a dynamite roll or a California roll, and it's like, yeah, I'll take that.
Yep.
Doesn't need to be. It doesn't. You don't need to have fugu all the time.
Well, I mean, if it's cut incorrectly, you only have fugu once.
Yes, that is true.
All right. Do we have anything else for the 3 minute for the longest 3 minutes in podcast history?
Just want to give a quick shout out to my buddy Josh. He's started a podcast now as well. It is based off of the CFL Reddit community. He, in his inaugural episode, he had our two friends of the show, Paul Woods and Adam Goss. Just do a look. It's called Our CFL. Just have a look on YouTube. It's on there. He's posted it on his YouTube channel. And, Give him a like, subscribe, all that, all the YouTube jazz that you would normally do.
All right. Well, that does it for this edition of the Argos Fancast. And as tradition, we have gone long. want to thank Ben Grant from the X's and Argos for joining us and giving us a little bit of more in depth than we were able to figure with the team, and well, just joining us for all around Argos talk. Doug, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find me on Facebook at find my group, the Double Blue Order, on Facebook at facebook.com/Double Blue Order, on Twitter at Double Blue Order, on Instagram at the Double Blue Order, and get your Double Blue Order merch, including the law firm t-shirt, doublblueorder.ca.
And Will, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And you can find me at All Kinds of Clay on your social media machines. You can find the Fancast at Argos Fancast on Twitter and Instagram. And anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast. And that does it for the show today. We'll be back to talk to you probably next week. We'll figure it out.